You're listening to the Potential Cast, episode Angel. A moment of passion turns to terror as Buffy discovers Angel's true identity and learns about the gypsy curse that has haunted him for almost 100 years. This is Stephanie.
This is Kim.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Delirio. And with us again is...
I'm John Pavlich.
John made it back. If you don't know John, you can hear him at...
You can hear me on the Sofa Dogs podcast. You can also hear me at castlecast.net. And you can hear me on the Book of the Month discussions over at geekshow.us or Movie Night with Geek Show.
Awesome. Ooh. Okay.
So yeah, these restraints work pretty well. So, can I have my sandwich now?
No, you must wait until after the recording.
Okay.
Can I just tell right off the bat that I really liked Angel, and even though I had 10 times more notes for last week's episode, but this episode gave us so much backstory.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It gave us so much, and in such a small period of time, so it was. Everything all chalked up to like about 3 or 4 minutes of like solid information that I guess we need for the rest of the series. But yeah.
I think that the Angel episode, it's less a creature of the week or monster of the week, and it's more like what you're going to see in the future of Buffy. It's more like what people love about Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, John?
Oh yeah, totally. It's more sort of character based and kind of arc based. It's got everything.
Yeah.
So Gabby, when you were watching, were you disappointed that I spoiled you that Angel is a vampire?
Actually, yes.
Aww. Yeah. No, like, I thought it was common knowledge.
Wait, Angel's a what? I didn't get that from the episode.
I thought it was common knowledge that he was a vampire. I guess not. But when I watched this episode, I felt so bad. I'm like, damn it, I spoiled it for her. But
yeah, but it was cool. And the reveal was very nice.
It was very nice. Although he looked a lot like Manimal. If anyone remembers Manimal.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I totally do.
He really looked a lot like Manimal when he kind of looked up and he was half changed. He looked more like a lion than...
I thought he looked more lion-esque, too.
Yeah. A little bit of Ron Perlman in Beauty and the Beast.
Yes!
Yeah.
But, you know, we make fun of the vampire makeup, but do y'all watch True Blood?
I do not.
Yes.
I watched the first 6 episodes, and I had enough.
You're smart.
Yeah. The makeup on True Blood isn't much better. I mean, you know, Bill, they try to make him look pale. And the makeup is yellow around. You can see the pink around his eyes where the makeup isn't. Mm-hmm. And so cheap. I'm just saying, it's
hard to make someone look like a vampire. It's hard,
especially now with HD, right? Like you can see all the imperfections and all the hairlines and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The retractable teeth are cooler, though.
True.
Are they real or is that CG?
CGI for sure.
It's gotta be.
It's CGI when they're showing them retract, but I'm sure they wear fangs when, between the takes.
Okay, I see.
You know, I mean, the vampire makeup, you know, does get better as the show progresses because they're able to sort of use the bone structure in people's faces to their advantage. Because there are certain actors where the vampire makeup actually looks really scary. I actually, every time I see the vampire makeup, particularly on David Boreanaz, it makes me think of The Lost Boys.
I think Darla's looks horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
But she looks really scary, which is the point.
Yeah.
Which is the point. But, yeah.
I don't think you're necessarily supposed to go, ooh, sexy.
True. True. Right.
I guess I could say that it's not like I'm you know, I don't want to sound like someone who's just criticizing the makeup, but I wanted to be scared by the makeup more than I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to better makeup later on.
Well, I'm sure 10 years ago, stuff like this wasn't on television, so I'm sure it was something new, but we've been spoiled by, you know, movies and better CGI and, you know.
Now, you bring up a very good point there, too.
Yeah. 10 years ago, we probably would have been like, that dude was so frightening.
Yeah. Speaking of frightening dudes, the Master is back.
Yes.
Yay! Mark Medcalf.
And the Anointed One as well. He gets to talk quite a bit.
You mean Colin? The Anointed One is Colin.
Yes. That kid's got a deep voice for someone so pint.
Well, there's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that? That you're not going to be able to talk to us about?
No, I'm not. I can't.
Oh, I was going to say, did they ADR him like 5 months later when he went through puberty?
I will say no more.
Okay.
Wow. ADR is a
spoiler.
I
have to pay attention to something shiny over here.
Okay. Ooh, shiny. I was happy to see Darla back.
Yeah.
And then she died.
Aww.
I hope she's back, though, because they put up a lot of...
Do you need a break?
No, because I figure she might be back because... she created Angel, so hopefully we get like a flashback episode and we see Angel before he was turned.
You've watched way too much Lost.
I know so much.
That's pretty amazing, Kim.
does it happen? No, I'm just saying because I figured we'll see more of her.
Well, I hope to see more of her. I mean the character. I didn't mean to make it sound that way at all.
No, I think
I have a screen cap you should see.
I don't know. I just think that they foreshadowed so much because in that one scene where they gave us all this information, like he was put under a curse that now his soul was restored.
That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not very familiar with the vampire stuff. So if this is all over the vampire, you know, like background stuff, I apologize. But this is awesome.
New.
What
yeah,
a great idea.
New.
Yeah, but it's great. And, like, even the Master said, Angel was his favorite because he used to be so evil. And it's like, oh, I want to see him evil. So hopefully...
Oh, don't you worry.
Sweet.
Awesome. The blood bags in the fridge, anyone else? A little bit freaked out by that?
I thought that was awesome.
That just makes me think of... a little Canadian detective show about a vampire called Forever Night.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Forever Night, Kim?
No, I don't.
No?
Aw.
Yes.
No. It had John Capellos from The Breakfast Club.
Yay.
Moving right along.
Shutting up.
Let's see. I think we have some Angel-specific feedback here from Heidi.
Hey.
Heidi writes.
Hey, Heidi.
Hi, Gax.
Hey, hi, Heidi.
Wanted to send off a short email about the episode Angel. I didn't know that Angel was a vampire when I first watched until he vamped out. No idea how I didn't know this. I knew Angel had his own show. Anyway, I was shocked. I almost screamed right along with Buffy. It was really great looking back to have that shocking experience. Heidi, sent from my iPhone.
Thank you, Heidi.
No love for me, I guess.
She didn't know you were going to be here, John.
No. We kept you a bleeped secret.
I was a dirty word until about an hour ago.
Man.
You mean a week ago.
Right.
I must say, Sarah Michelle Gellar's scream was incredibly convincing.
Yeah, it was great.
It wasn't the Wilhelm scream?
Let's move right along, shall we?
I think that this episode proves that Buffy's very shallow and superficial. Because the second Angel stopped looking hot, she was just all like, "Ooh, you disgust me, get away.
Get out of my house.
I want nothing to do with
This is from Jenny. Hi, Gax. First off, I love the podcast.
Thank you, Jenny.
Woo-hoo. Nice. I've listened to many Buffy podcasts, but most are from diehard fans of the show.
That is not us.
not yet, anyways. It's wonderful to hear your reaction as new Buffy watchers. It's a bit difficult hearing my favorite show and heroine get beat up a little bit. It took a lot of effort to keep from shouting, "No, she gets better," when one of you mentions that you don't like Buffy very much.
Oh, that's but Kim. Jenny, that's hey, Kim. Kim doesn't like Buffy.
I think it's Gabby. But I'm confident.
Don't you mean Debbie?
Yes, that was Debbie.
You son of a...
She goes on to write, "I'm confident that you guys will end up loving her and the show as you keep watching, just like I did. Thanks for the great podcast, Jenny."
Thank you for the great feedback, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
I have an Angel-specific email here from Ryan Lockler.
Okay.
Ryan writes, "Hey, Gax. This email is for when y'all review the episode Angel, episode 7. This is my personal favorite of season 1. Misspelled favorite.
Woo-hoo!
It introduces many of the story elements that will be through the rest of the series. We see the actual beginning of Angel's story arc and, spoiler alert, wait, never mind, his vampire roots." I didn't know he dyed his hair. Okay. The dialogue between Angel and Darla is always interesting because you see that they have a history that goes back hundreds of years. The actors play the undertone so well. The episode features three of the ancillary characters, Joyce, Darla, Angel, in larger roles and moves along the season one arc. The use of ancillary characters deepens every story arc in Buffy. Though Julie Benz and Christine Sutherland are not regular cast members, their parts are key in the show. The final battle scene is also fun. Pay attention to the use of guns in the Buffyverse. They are rarely used, and when they are, it is a character turning point. Steph, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
In regards to y'all's Cordy hating, y'all are just seeing the beginning of her story. By the end, Cordy becomes my favorite character. Give her time. Cordy. She'll grow on you. Especially since you seem to love Xander
like
so much.
Like a rash.
Like a fungus.
Oh, don't tell me that Cordelia and Xander get together. That was
this is the one episode of season 1 I would give a 10 out of 10. Let me start over. I have to edit out all the swearing. Okay.
Sorry.
This is the one episode of season 1 that I would give a 10 out of 10. Unfortunately, it's followed by one of the worst episodes, though iRobot Eugene does introduce another important ancillary character. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep up the good work, Ryan.
Aww.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Joss, he's one on record saying that he does not like guns. And guns are not, I mean, this world is not about guns, you know. It's about hand-to-hand combat, you know. It's about stakes. It's not about guns. So when you see guns, they're very important. It's supposed to be very, you know, heavy, very, what am I trying to say? Very,
stuff just got real.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to listen to,
Athena Muses,
yeah.
Now she has an email and an attachment, right?
Yeah.
So should we read the email first?
Sure.
Gabby?
Sure. Oh, me? Read?
Yeah. That's where you join the sounds like of letters me? Together.
Okay.
Don't you mean Melvin do?
Oh, boy. All right, here we go. I'm Kim, a.k.a. Athena Muse. I think you guys may know me, at least slightly. I'm a podcaster in the Whedonverse, and I just managed to start listening to your show. John Pavlich knows me. He can tell you who I am. Okay. I'm loving it, in spite of the fact that you all are not too impressed thus far. I get it. Season 1 can be tough. I can't wait until you get further. I want to tell you to watch and record daily and put them up later. I know how daunting editing can be, so you all can get to the good stuff sooner. I'm selfish that way. Yeah. I have my own shows, and one of them is all about the Buffyverse, Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land. I would not recommend you listen until you've seen all of Buffy and probably Angel. And knowing the comics wouldn't hurt, but it is probably not necessary. My other shows include Buffy Between the Lines, seasons 1 and 2, Angel Between the Lines, Just, again, spoilers abound on all of those, The Mars Effect, a Veronica Mars episode review, and a few others. I don't expect you to listen, just trying to give you an idea of who I am. Regardless, I'd love to have any or all of you on Happy Land sometime. Keep it up, and I can't wait for more. Kim.
Awesome. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
And you also
I do know Kim. Not in a biblical sense, no matter how that sounded. This is the way you said it, was just like, John Pavlich knows me. And then I'm like, whoa, hey.
Not that well. I think we should play her MP3, shall we?
Do it.
Let's do it.
Hello, Gax. I just wanted to say that I have just started listening to your show, and I'm totally enjoying it. Keep it up. So I cannot wait until you guys get further into things, of course. I'm sure you hear that a lot. I also wanted to say, Gabby, I totally can relate to you. I think you and I have a lot in common. Most everything that you comment on are opinions that I felt when I first watched the show. And I have to say, I want to make a prediction that you are going to love season 6. Just a guess, but I want to make that prediction. I also want to say that I, too, adored Swan's Crossing. Yes, yeah. I know. Shameful secret. But yes, I was early teens and loved it. Watched it obsessively. And I think it actually was a Canadian show, if I'm correct.
No, it wasn't.
Anyway, nope. I wanted to say that, and I would love to have any of you on to my show, Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land, which is a show where I invite guests on and we deconstruct Buffy in a variety of ways. I would not recommend that you guys listen to it, though, because it will spoil you rotten, and I totally think that you guys will enjoy things more the less you know. So please try your hardest to keep away from spoilers. Lastly, I also wanted to say, I know you guys said in the first or second episode that you can't imagine how it would be as intense, Buffy would be as intense as Lost, or how it would change your life. Let me tell you, I am 34. I was 30 or 31 when I started watching Buffy, and it has completely changed my life in ways I had no idea it would. So I wouldn't be surprised, I have to say. I loved it, but Buffy will be my first true love, and I think that, yeah, you guys will be surprised at how intense the fandom is. I mean, for example, there are college courses on Buffy. So there's a great example for you. It possibly could change your life, but not season 1. So again, I can't wait till you guys get further, and I can't wait to keep listening. And I hope you guys are recording like a whole bunch, because man, I really would love to talk to you guys about some of the stuff that happens much, much later, but it'll take some time.
Patience.
All right.
Patience.
Thank you all. And, I hope you guys get a chance. You can still come on my show, even if you don't listen to it. I don't mind. And I will keep things pretty spoiler free for you for that episode. So give me a shout out and we'll figure something out. Bye.
Bye, Kim.
Bye.
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 Thanks, Kim. Yeah, I definitely want to be on Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land.
Yeah, so, that's the not so popular, The Less You Know.
Yes.
Awesome.
Did anyone catch when the master said something like, with power comes responsibility?
Yes.
And I was like, wow, what a Hulk ripoff.
Hulk?
Spider-Man.
Whoa,
timeout. Sorry, timeout. That's rewind. I meant to say Spider-Man. I wrote
turn in your gun and your badge right now.
No, but when you said it, did they have to rewrite the line so he didn't plagiarize Spider-Man?
Because I don't know.
Isn't the quote, with great power comes great responsibility?
Yeah, and he didn't do it exactly.
He didn't do it exactly.
Yeah.
I knew it was
Spider-Man. I wonder if given something like that, if you can actually say it and be fine. You don't have to pay any sort of, I don't know if you have to necessarily pay sort of royalties just by using like a line of dialogue or something.
Yeah, or I wonder if they just changed it just so it would be exactly word for word.
I think, you know, maybe if you're referencing Spider-Man. But this was clearly not the case where they were.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of that scene, I didn't know Klingons were vampires. Because I see those guys walking down the street. My immediate flash is to Klingons. Because they have the armor and they have the big jaws.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, that, yeah. The,
like one of
the
them
three
like vampires. Ponytail, the three.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But this proves that Buffy's a badass, because if the three can't take her down, then they need someone stronger.
Right.
Did you just say Colin? Clearly.
Yeah, clearly Colin. Auto-tuned Colin.
Auto-tuned. Double rainbow all the way.
He sounds like a robot, yeah.
I think the first time we were, in this episode as well, point of revelation, I guess we've jumped ahead, it was the first time we learned that a vampire can't come in unless they're invited. I think that was the first time they said that in the series, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I went back and I rewound it specifically to watch before Angel ran into Buffy's house. She's like, come in! Come on in! Yeah. Oh, those writers, they're sneaky, aren't they?
Darla's plan was diabolical.
Yeah.
It was an excellent plan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if Darla's like John Woo style double gun fisted kind of action was what got Julie Benz the part in Boondock Saints 2.
Maybe. Although,
my theory.
I look at that scene where she's sliding backwards along the pool table, and there's no way you're going to slide along a pool table.
No. She's a vampire.
It doesn't mean she's a hovercraft, though, John.
She's a vampire.
But it still felt.
Although, if she was wearing one of Xander's shirts, it would have been like Velcro.
Speaking of Xander, I think the most important thing that we learned in this episode was that he cannot dance.
No, he can't. That's one of my pet peeves is watching bad dancers on video, and it's like, I can't watch. I just have to look away and like peer through my fingers. Is it over yet? God.
Oh my God, it was painful, but hilarious.
I hope he did that on purpose. He's not saying like that.
Oh,
anyway. What else have you learned? Oh, that Buffy and Angel, they do in fact love each other. Even though they never said it to each other, they both had the sideways glances. Like, I think it was it Xander or Willis said, "Are you in love with him? Are you in love with this guy?" And she's like,
"Are you in love with a vampire?"
Yes.
And Cordelia said, "What?" And he said, "I mean, are you in love with an umpire?"
That's right.
And
she wasn't even talking to him.
No. Cordelia's next line is one of my favorites. Anyway.
Are you saving
it? Are you saving it for the end?
I'm going to save it till later.
Good. I've already got my quote, so none of you better steal it, because I don't have another one. Anyway, so Darla asks Angel, or he says, "You love this human," or whatever, and there was like a sideways glance, like, "Oh, they love each other. Wonderful." So they set up the whole series. Yay.
Yes, they did.
Yes. All right. So what else did we learn? Angel's 240 years old?
Something what? Like Do that.
And he has a sweet tattoo.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. How awesome was that very last scene between Angel and Buffy when they kiss and then zoom in on Angel's chest?
because of the burn mark. Because of the burn mark.
Yeah. I'm in touch with my sexuality. Yes, I was referring to the burn mark.
He's always walking around with his collar out and everything undone. How come we never saw it before?
Oh, it just happened. Because she wears a crucifix. Right?
Oh,
and they kissed.
Because he was
and then
he was
she
enjoying
says,
kissing her
hurts.
So much that it didn't matter that it was hurting.
That yeah. that to me and it, was and awesome.
It's also it's the crucifix that he gave her.
It is.
Yes, in the first episode.
Oh, you're
yes.
right. It is.
You know, sorry. You know, I am old and cynical and jaded and, you know, been there, done that with, you know, love, first love or whatever, you know, but I'm not interested in romantic stories. I am not a shipper. I don't care.
Jader,
I did not really care who Kate ended up with. I don't care if Brennan and Bones ever get together. But let me tell you, I think Buffy.
So what's
and
it
Angel,
like to be dead inside?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Let me tell you, I'm not, because Buffy and Angel, that is hot.
Angel's hot. Okay, so she's 16 and he's 240.
Yeah, yeah, but come on, come on, come on. Suspension of disbelief, remember?
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, how old is he? Like in what is he 24, 25, ish, 30 ish?
No, not
30. You're talking about the actor in reality?
No, no, no. Angel when he was turned.
When he was turned. I would say.
I think he in. Yeah, it's either late teens or early 20s. I can't really, you know, go into too much without spoiling things. But yeah, I think when he was turned, he was probably in his late teens.
He's supposed to be in that in the non-statutorious like age range, I'm assuming.
Mm.
I just think he's dreamy and all that, but he's too old for a 16-year-old. Mm. Personal, whatever. I know it's suspension of disbelief, sure, yeah, whatever, but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair. I mean, you bring up a fair point.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me.
No?
No. It never even occurred to me.
It's a TV show at the end of the day, so...
But that kind of stuff does occur to me usually. I don't know if it's because... I don't know
you're
what
so
it is.
Their romance.
I don't know. I don't know if I would say that, but I didn't... Like, I oftentimes look at stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This is stupid. We're supposed to believe that this guy is 25 years old, and this girl is, like... But I think it's maybe age isn't so much a factor as the fact that, you know, he's... I don't know. He's literally a tortured soul. He's a vampire who's not a demon anymore, right? And there's this slayer, and he's falling for her, and he cares about her. And there's this, it's really, that to me is much more compelling than I would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, yeah. Like the ultimate star-crossed lover.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, when I was like 17, 18 years old when that show came on and watching initially, like, I never thought about that stuff about, you know, oh, so-and-so is this age, but this person's this age. It's all icky and wrong. It just never occurred to me. Like, I didn't think about it. I didn't care. Like, no one ever brought it up. I never thought about it, so.
Mm-hmm.
No,
but I do love what they introduced that Angel is, they restored his souls, the gypsies did. And so he's kind of like half human, half vampire.
Yeah, and that he's
a humpire
daily. he has to deal daily with what his actions, what he did when he was in jealous. You know, because he was the worst of the worst. He was the most terrible vampire. He was the master's favorite. And so, I mean, you just can just imagine all the terrible things that he did as a vampire that he's having to deal with every day.
So he's like a self-hating vampire.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which explains him, you know, masochistically allowing the cross to burn him.
And Buffy's a reluctant slayer.
Now this episode ties into some of the continuity issues that are starting to pop up from the voicemail we got last week. Mm-hmm. Like in the first episode when Angel first shows up, he's kind of walking around in the daylight. He runs into Buffy when she's about to go down into the sewers, and
the sun's lit up,
streaming through, and it's like, how did he get there? You know, it's. He's kind of, I mean, he's indoors, but sunlight's pouring through. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, it's a little sort of...
one of those rings that the Salvatore brothers have.
Oh.
I hate that.
Terrible.
Point is, it's cheating, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we going to rate this episode? Are we there yet, or do you have more stuff to talk about?
I'm done bringing things up. I don't know about you guys.
I am done.
I got nothing.
It's one of my favorite episodes of season one.
Yeah,
it might be my favorite flat out.
So far it's my favorite of the episodes I've watched.
Yeah, like I said, it's less Monster of the Week, and it's more, like you said, John, more character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like it so much is because, to me, from watching it, taking it, I think I see so much foreshadowing. So I've kind of hyped myself up thinking, oh, great, we're going to see more of Darla in, like, a flashback. Like, because they just laid out so much information.
Yeah, the world is starting to open up.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I was really disappointed when, you know, I had saw Firefly. And the universe of Firefly is just so lush and rich. And then when I watched Buffy, I'm like, where's this rich, lush universe that I'm used to from a Joss Whedon show? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was really happy to see that, oh, there's so much more. We're going to see flashbacks and go different places and... we're going to get out of Sunnydale, maybe.
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 I think I'm more excited about seeing Angel being bad. Because we saw Xander be bad last week. But I think this Angel being bad is going to be, like, to the nth degree.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a vampire and all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As you two, just hum away. Don't want to review anything.
So, let's attribute numerical values to this piece of television art form. John?
I give this episode 10 out of 10 handguns.
Interesting. You change your rating system. Very good.
I'm going to give it like a 9, a solid 9. No other explanation. Debbie?
You know Debbie here.
Debbie!
Well, the fumigation party at the Bronze.
Yeah.
So that gets an right
is
there.
A real game changer for me. As much as I was riveted by this episode, I didn't like it as much as I liked the pack. Mm. But it still gets high marks, so I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Ooh,
yes.
And that's the extra point for the Bronze, too.
Yes. but it's fumigation party at the Bronze.
Right.
Yeah.
If I don't want to
I want a shirt that says that.
I'd give it 5 out of 5.
5 poutines?
Yeah, it was really 5 poutines out of 5 because it was fantastic. You had all this arc stuff. You had, I mean, yes, Klingon vampires, whatever I said. It was fabulous to see a really nice fight scene compared to the earlier ones. And she did do that double kick that was pretty impressive. And, you know, the whole Angel in her house and then her mom.
Yes.
And then she gets bit.
Yes.
And, oh, my God. No, she's going to think it's Angel. And then the hospital stuff. Yeah. It was kind of like the whodunit stuff was there. And I'm not that much in love with the Bronze, but, you know, I can appreciate a cockroach scene or two. And then you have Darla getting killed and their whole backstory. Seriously, it was really, really good. So far, the best one I've seen. 5 out of 5.
Yep. Yeah, I would give it a 10, except, okay, John, let me ask you this. What is the point of Angel's tattoo?
What is the point of his tattoo?
Well, I could answer that.
Just to get his shirt off?
No.
Yes.
It serves to confirm to Buffy that, in fact, he is Angelus when Giles brings up the fact that he is referred to in that book as having a tattoo.
That's right.
I think
okay.
it helps
with
confirming that, he is, in fact, Angelus.
Okay.
So that because
I was just going to say it's cool.
Well, it is cool, but I think it really serves to confirm to Buffy how, you know, he's not just
dangerous.
You know how dangerous he is and how formidable he is.
Okay. Don't hang out with that guy. He's got a tattoo
of a bird.
All right, well, I say I give it a 10.
Awesome.
Okay.
Quotes.
I'll get some bandages. Take off your jacket and your shirt.
All right, but I... Oh, you were quoting.
Yes.
The doctor said it looked like a barbecue fork. We don't have a barbecue fork.
That Cordelia's a regular breath of vile air.
This is exactly what happens when you sign these free trade agreements.
Julia, I'd love her.
John?
Whoa, well, let's stop this crazy whirl gig of fun. I'm dizzy.
What?
That was my backup.
My backup was, it's a lot of fun here. What's it like where you are?
Yeah.
I had no backup, so thankfully.
You don't need backup, John.
Thank you.
So what's our homework for next week?
Oh, yeah. Next week is not fun.
No. Just remember.
Thank you for selling it.
I'm sorry. I Robot Eugene. It's my least favorite of the season.
Spoiler alert. Fantastic.
Spoiler alert.
So,
is it worse than the teacher's pet?
Oh, heaven juice.
Mm-hmm.
Gak will watch this episode while S will pretend to watch it.
I'll watch it. Maybe I will enjoy it more.
Maybe.
I'll keep an open mind about it.
Time for more painkiller brownies.
Gotta get me some of those.
I'll send some your way.
Yay.
Thanks, Deb.
Well, thanks a lot for being on the show, John. We really appreciate it.
I'm happy to do it. I'm trying to decide what I want to come back for. Because, I definitely want to come back for Prophecy Girl. But I'm also trying to decide if I want to come back for Nightmares. Of course, that is if you'll have me, but... I don't want to.
Well, I think Stephanie's managing the list of guests.
Yeah,
so
we'll have our
people get in touch with your people.
Yeah,
I think
really.
we have to say sorry to Kelly Jo because she wanted to do this episode.
Yeah, but we already had John lined up.
No, I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Kelly
Jo's awesome.
Poor listener number one.
She'll be on, though. So we don't have to worry about that.
Nope. Yep.
So, iRobot Eugene.
That's our homework.
Uh-huh.
It just sounds titillizing.
Sounds what?
It's something.
Titillizing.
Titillizing.
It's not a word.
No.
I don't think that's a word.
No, it's tantalizing or titillating.
Oh.
You just made up a word.
I mean another word like cremazing.
Yeah. You're really good at that.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Yes. I believe it might even be a portmanteau. Listeners of ours, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can call us 270-40-BUFFY, or you can send us a voicemail at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter, where we like to post when the latest episodes are available, and where we get your feedback and stuff like that. And we are twitter.com/potentialcast.
We are. Also, check out, potentialcast.blogspot.com,
or you could just go ahead and do potentialcast.com. It will redirect you to the Blogspot page where you can get the show notes or comment on the actual episode postings.
Sounds good.
Also, we did receive some feedback about how from Bob, who mentioned that the subscribe via iTunes link wasn't good for him because he doesn't use iTunes. So if you don't use iTunes, you are no longer out of luck. We now have a secondary link on potentialcast.com that will allow you to access the feed and just plug it into whatever feed reader you use to download podcasts.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Yay. Oh, I have a backup quote now.
Oh.
Every time I look at you, all I want to do is kiss you.
That's horrible.
Oh, my.
Yeah. She fell for it.
What was Buffy rambling about in that scene? And he's like,
that was when she thought that he read her
diary. That's right.
Oh, and then she was backing out of all the fantasy stuff she was talking about.
Yeah, she was like something like, you know, it's like, you know, hot and sizzling can mean a lot of things. And
oh, and A actually can stand for Ahmed, a very fine exchange student. That was good. That was some really good stuff.
Oh,
all right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.